Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you back with us as we continue our simple goal here of reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, honored to be the pulpit minister at the Arlington Church of Christ and honored to be your speaker for this next quarter hour. Let's open God's Word and study together. If you want to study any other lesson in this series, by the way, www.readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N. readingtheword.net. Click on the radio programs. You can find any and all lessons in this series, and they're free to listen or to download at no charge to you. I want to talk about heeding the warning with the time that we have allotted before us today. Heed the warning. Go back in your mind's eye, if you will, a number of years ago to an event that happened before you were born, but it's an event that you know about. I want you to think about 9 o'clock in the morning, 1:42 in the afternoon, 1:45 in the afternoon, 7:30 at night, 9:40 at night, and lastly 11 o'clock at night. 6 specific times in the day that was April the 14th, 1912. These were the times at 9 o'clock, 1:42 in the afternoon, 1:45, 7:30, 9:40, and 11 o'clock, the times that the RMS Titanic received warnings about icebergs. Received warnings starting at 9 o'clock in that morning that there are icebergs ahead, and you would do well to change your course, to veer off before it is too late. Dear friends, the historians tell us that the Titanic, she sank at 11:40 at night, which means the final warning that she received at 11 o'clock at night was just 40 minutes before she met her collision that led to her ultimate destruction. Dear friends, 6 warnings, and each warning was ignored, and as a result, 1,500-plus passengers and crew lost their lives in the waters of the cold Atlantic. We love to tell the story of the Titanic, do we not? There's museums about it. One's in Pigeon Forge. It's wonderful, by the way, if you like museums. One in Branson. We read books about it. We watch documentaries, how they go down to the wreckage and how Robert Nautilus found it and James Cameron and all the things they love to do. Maybe you've seen the 3-hour movie that goes on forever and ever about the ship sinking. Maybe you've seen it in 3D. Dear friends, all of this could have been prevented. It could have been prevented at 9 o'clock, at 1:42, 1:45, 7:30, 9:40, and 11 o'clock. It could have been avoided, but they were not. Dear friends, we must heed the warnings and not wind up like the Titanic. Notice what Peter says. Peter, in 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. Notice what Peter, writing by inspiration, says. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. See, we sing in a song, God counts not time by years, for there is no night there. God's our concept of time has no bearing upon God. He is God. He excels above and beyond the realm of time. But notice verse 9. Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then key in verse 10. But, conjunction joins two thoughts, means the opposite of a thought. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens and the earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof, shall be burned up. Heed the warning. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That tells me two things. One, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's just waiting for the Father to give that command. And, dear friends, the Lord could return before I finish recording this program, before you finish hearing it, or before this hour or this day even comes, the Lord could come back, or it could be many years. We don't know. Why? Because he's coming as a thief in the night. I don't watch a whole lot of news, at least news programs on television. But you watch the news, you listen to it on the radio, you read it in the paper or online, and you've never seen, I've never seen it, a thief be interviewed and say, so how did you go about your plan of attack? No thief has ever said, well, I called them at about 5 in the afternoon and said, I think I'm going to break into your house this evening about 11:30. Will you be asleep by then? And no, dear friends, the thief comes when you're least expecting, when you're gone, when you're asleep in the dead of night in darkness. We see the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. That means there will be no warnings, no rapture. Rapture is not found in Scripture, dear friends. There's not going to be a coming of marks of the beast like you read in Revelation, because that's all figurative. All those events have come to pass, Revelation 1:1-3. The day the Lord's going to come back as a thief in the night, and everything's going to be burned up. That means there's not going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's physical, dear friends. It'll be spiritual. It's that heavenly realm. The Lord is coming back. Dear friends, we need to heed the warning. When we return on the other side of this break, we have a couple of passages of Scripture I want us to examine together as we think about heeding the warning here on Reading the Word.
Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Dear friend, thank you for continuing to stay with us here. We are talking about Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. Any lesson online, archive for you, www.readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. We're talking about heeding the warning. You know, warnings are there to instruct us. They are something for us to take serious. We need to take serious heed to God's warnings today and make no delay, dear friends. Think about, for instance, you read a can of hairspray, and on the back of it says, warning, take heed. Don't use near open flame. Why? Because it becomes a flamethrower. You see a sign that says, caution, eye is hot. You don't put your whole palm down on it. Why? Because it will burn you. Warnings are there to instruct us. I think about how there's always been a sense of urgency with obedience to God. I think back to the days of Noah. There was a sense of urgency as Noah was preparing the ark. A sense of urgency when God told Abraham to get up and go, and Abraham got up and went. A sense of urgency with Moses, get my people out and lead them. Matthew 3:2 and following, John the Baptist preached, there's a sense of urgency. How? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ says, repent, repent. There is a sense of urgency. Well, we've heard the warning. What is that? Jesus Christ is coming back as a thief in the night. Now, what will we do? I have four passages of Scripture I want us to examine with the remaining time here on this episode of Reading the Word. Go with me to the 22nd chapter of Acts, if you will. Acts 22, beginning in verse 16. Paul is converted to Christianity in the 9th chapter of Acts. He gives a valiant defense of his conversion in the 22nd chapter. He once again defends himself in the 26th chapter. And I want you to notice, as Paul is recounting, here are the words of Ananias. He says, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. There's a sense of urgency from Ananias. He's saying, Saul, you know what to do, and if you died right now, you are dead in your sins. There is a sense of urgency. Why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins in obedience. That's what calling upon the name of the Lord means. There's a sense of urgency. Will you be like Paul and respond to the Lord's invitation? Will you heed the warning? Go with me to the 24th of Acts. Acts 24 and verse 25. Paul is preaching before Felix, the Bible says, and after certain days, when Felix, with his wife, came with Drusilla, his wife, that's verse 24, sent for Paul, heard him concerning the things of the faith in Christ. Verse 25, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, i.e., he preached the gospel. Every sermon has those three things in them. Felix trembled. He was pricked at his heart. And he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season for thee, I will call." See, Felix heard the gospel, but he did not see the sense of urgency. He says, "When I have a more convenient season, I'll call." Dear friends, scripturally speaking, I don't read of that. The last time I read of Felix, well, I read of him in the 27th verse and then no more. As far as I know, he never heeded the warning. He never obeyed the gospel. Too many times I've heard people say, "Well, when I get my life straightened out," reading some from the late Brother Guy N. Woods. He talked to a man, said, "Brother Woods, when I get my life straightened out, I'll come back to church." And Brother Woods said that didn't happen, because when his life was straightened out, he was lying in a casket. Come back to God now. Heed the warning, and he will help you straighten out your life. Go with me over a page or two to Acts 26, beginning in verse 27. Once again, Paul is on defense for his life and for preaching the gospel, and he's preaching to King Agrippa, a member of the Herod family, who believed the Old Testament. He said, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." See, if he could get Agrippa to agree to believe the prophets, then Agrippa would know he'd have to obey, because all the prophets pointed to Christ. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The idea in the original language of Greek is, almost, if I had a willingness to listen to you any longer, I would obey the gospel. Yet I don't, so be gone. Almost persuaded is a song we often sing as an invitation song to encourage one to respond to the Lord's invitation. But dear friends, as I saw it on a church sign, I believe it to be true. Almost persuaded is to be completely lost. Agrippa, completely lost. He did not heed the warning. Finally, we go to the second time that Paul writes to those in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 is the final passages of Scripture in our study today on reading the Word. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also manifest in your consciences." He says, we all must appear before the judgment seat. That should be enough to persuade us. He says, verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." To do what? To heed the warning. Scripture is clear. You must turn to God in faithful obedience of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, remaining faithful to the very end. Substitutions are not allowed. Partial credit is not given. Must completely submit unto God. Heed the warning and do as he has commanded. We often sing the song, "God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Lo, you've wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Heed the warning, heed the warning, and turn back to God." Don't be like the Titanic. They had 6 chances to turn away, to veer a little off their course, to change their direction and be saved. They chose none of them, and history is very well recorded with exactly what happened to them. Don't be like the Titanic. Instead, heed the Lord's warning. Live a right life now, so you'll be ready when the Lord will return. I do appreciate your time and attention in this study today. I hope it has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. Once again, if you want to catch any program in this series, you can do that. This is number 92, by the way. You can do that online anytime, www.readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on radio programs. You can find all sorts of stuff and other biblical stuff on my website, all of it free to you. We'll invite you back to join us again next time, same place, brand new study, same scriptures. Until then, we'll close this program with the way we ended all the rest of them. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.